Welcome to the show, Eden.
Hi, Angela. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we dive in and I start asking you questions, I was just going to share with the listeners how I first found out about you, connected with you, if that's okay.
Of course. I'd love to hear the story.
Hey, great. So I first heard you on Andrea's podcast, The Unruly Entrepreneur, which I'll put in the show notes for anyone who hasn't heard it. And I was just so impressed with your story and your offerings that you talked about. You mentioned Messy during that episode, and I went and purchased it like right away, which I wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about during our conversation. And then that also prompted me to have a one-on-one with you, where you were actually the first person to ever read my human design chart. And you were also the first person who I shared my program idea, Clean Baby Daddy Energy, with. And when you told me that my chart was aligned with being like a disruptor with the fifth line, and that I'm here to teach things in a new way, that really just like, I don't even think I told you, it had so much impact on me. And it fueled me with like so much confidence that I was like, okay, I'm here to do this. And then I went on and booked an intensive with Andrea, who helped me really like dig in and refine it. She helped me with the sales page, all of that. And then she even invited me onto her podcast to talk about it. And now it's live, and now it's like been running for 12 weeks. So I just want to say thank you for all of that.
Wow. I'm in awe because I remember that conversation, and sometimes conversations will stick with me and I'll find myself thinking about it days later. And that was one of them. I was like, oh, this clean baby daddy energy is such a good idea. And I talked about it to a couple of people. So to see it having manifested so beautifully and so quickly too, that is incredible. And I am just celebrating you so much. Wow. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. I know. So that's why I was like, I have to have Eden on, because she was the one, like, I even told Andrea, I'm like, I told Eden about this first. And then like, then it just gave me that, you know, sometimes we don't need a permission like slip to do something, but it's just like, it gave me that for whatever reason.
Yeah. It was confirmation of what you already know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I would love for those of you who don't know Eden Carpenter, Eden, I'd love for you to just tell us like your journey of how you got to where you're at now. Because I believe you used to be a nurse, right?
Yes. I was briefly a nurse. I found human design when I was actually a nursing student. I was still in college and I was not testing well. I did most of my schooling as a homeschooled competitive gymnast, as in like I went to 1 year of high school and then jumped into college. And I was so used to taking tests in my bedroom and being in my own space and my own environment, being able to do them first thing in the morning if I wanted to, or late at night if I wanted to. And so being in a classroom setting, I was not learning well. I was not understanding the material as well. And it's like, I felt like I was getting it, but I just wasn't testing well. And so I was on this personal discovery journey, being a competitive athlete. My mindset was always a thing that I was focused on. Mindset is so much of the competition. And so I was like, okay, it's not my skills. I'm studying as much as possible. I feel like I understand the material. It's the performance. And so I started researching performance mindset and memory and recall. And I really fell in love with the Myers-Briggs personality types. Started following everyone on Instagram who's talking about it. And I discovered human design. I looked at this chart with all these shapes and all these numbers, and I was like, absolutely not. No, that is way too complicated. I can't handle that. And it just popped up over and over and over again, to the point where there was a glitch on a PowerPoint in a lecture and the words human and design were right next to each other, like a very divine intervention. It was everywhere. So I said, fine, I'll figure this out. I'll do some research. And I was just Googling the different questions. I had my chart up. I just discovered this system and it just made so much sense. I'd never felt so deeply seen. I was reading about the undefined G center and it says you're searching for a sense of self. You like a lot of personality types. You're really into psychology. You like understanding other people and just categorizing them, and you're searching for a sense of purpose and identity. And everything made sense. It's like I didn't even realize that was underneath the surface of all of my behavior patterns, but it was. And so I got hooked and I started applying it to my studying, to my health habits, to everything in my personal life. And all of a sudden, I was top of the class. I was able to be tutoring in the anatomy lab. I was getting these student teacher positions. I was testing really, really well. Everything changed. My relationship was getting cleaner. Everything was beautiful. And so I decided I wanted to understand other people. I wanted to really understand the system. I got me. I figured me out, but I wanted to understand other people. So I had a little Instagram page that I was posting manifestation and college and study tips. And I made a little planner once with like intentions and goal setting and just fun little things that I was just playing around with. And I said, hey, no, not creepy at all. Just DM me your birthday information and your email address. Like completely, I swear I'm not going to steal your identity or anything. Like I don't need your mother's maiden name here, but I'll do a free human design chart reading. And I was just looking for charts, for questions, for people who were curious about it so that I had something to respond to. So I had a puzzle to figure out and I had over 150 people respond. I'd never had anyone really respond to anything. I'd made $0 ever. And my inbox was flooded with these requests. And so I did around 160 free human design chart readings and I emailed them off. And people said, wow, this finally makes sense. Like I've been trying to figure it out. No one's described it like this. I've been studying it myself for a couple of years and no one's put it this way. And everyone just was blown away by the way that I was describing it. And so they asked for sessions, they asked for coaching, and that got me into my first couple of clients. And so there was a year in nursing school where I was running to the bathroom to respond to voice notes in the middle of class. And I was, you know, in my car in the hospital parking lot at 5 a.m. before clinicals, and I'm making my Instagram posts for the day. And I was just living this double life for a while. And then we went into the pandemic, and I went on spring break, my senior semester of college, and we never went back. We finished the degree online because with the lockdown, nursing students weren't allowed in the hospitals. There was no point in having us together. The school rules were changing. And so I had all of this free time. And so I started creating digital courses. And one led to another. I had my first five-figure month. I had my second five-figure month. It was like 15K, 20K, 30K. And everybody that I was talking to at the time, I was in a little mastermind with Lauren Eliz Love. I adore her. She's a 6'2", self-projected projector. And Holly Marie was in that mastermind. And I was just in this group and they said, you have to teach a certification. Like the way that you teach this, the way that I am understanding it, like all of a sudden after hearing you talk about it for an hour, I want to understand my clients this way. You need to be teaching the teachers, not just doing chart readings. You need to be teaching the teachers. And so I launched this certification program, SSCC, and I was so excited. I was like, if five people join this, I will be so happy. Like that would be incredible. It'll take 6 months. We'll go through all the content. It's going to be amazing. And I think in the first round, there were 34 people who joined. It was my first six-figure launch, which I was not expecting at all. And we are like moving into a new house that's closer to the job that I got. I'm supposed to start in a couple of months. And then they say, actually, you're going to start in a couple of days. And so we moved into our new house that we were wanting to renovate on a Friday. And I started my job on Monday. And then I lasted about 6 weeks as a nurse because the certification was blowing up. I had all of this interest. People were following my content. They were asking for more. I was making more money than I'd ever thought I could make in this online business. And then I was draining my soul in this nursing job. And I'd had some hesitation already. There was a little bit of frustration. I just thought it was nursing school, not the actual nursing career. But it took about 6 weeks for me to say, I have to quit my job tomorrow. This is really scary, but I trust myself. That was in 2020. And I've been manifesting generator, going through a bunch of different phases, but working full time from home, making good money online, just being myself through this human design thing for the last couple of years now.
Wow, that is so, I had chills like the whole time, especially when you said you saw like human design up on the board. Oh my God. It's just like, yeah, that's definitely your divine like gift. And I know it's funny. I've heard you and there was some, oh, maybe it was Catherine Zinkina. She also said like she was resistant to learning about human design at first too. And then it's funny how it just becomes like your, your main thing. Well, that is amazing. And yeah, I can relate to kind of straddling two worlds. I was in the Silicon Valley finance world for like 10 years and then straddling like my healing journey and all of that. And then like, I totally know how that feels. And then when you're like, oh, but I feel so alive here and this just feels like heaviness. So good for you with following like your heart and then look what happened. So I'm curious, what is your, I know you're a Mani Gen, right? But what is your HD profile?
I'm a 6-2 emotional manifesting generator.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
And then what would you say is, well, I have two questions. I think I might actually start with a different one. So I know you mentioned you were homeschooled and you were having trouble like once you got into a classroom setting. And so I have a son who has ADHD, ODD, and I'm trying to use his chart for like helping him, and he's a projector. And so what would you say to like parents who, you know, maybe have a more like, I don't think he's going to fit into regular like schooling. And so how can like parents use the chart to help their kids so that they're not like forcing them to try to conform to other kids?
Yeah, this is a great question. What is his profile?
So let me see. I had it pulled up. Let me just pull it up really fast. Nicholas. Oh, there he is. So he is a 3-5 projector. I'm trying to see if there's any, is there anything else?
Yeah. When I look at, when I think about learning, what's been really helpful is profiles, because that profile, we have a conscious side and we have an unconscious side. And then I really love to look at the variables. Mm-hmm. So the information about determination and cognition and even environment are really helpful. Oh. And when you understand those, the environment is like the best environment to study in. And so, for example, I'm a mountains environment. And so I do my best studying alone on my own. And so I was somebody who I would be in class, I would do that, it would work well, but then I really understood things if I was able to step back and be in my own space. And then the top arrow on the left side of the chart, so we're looking at the digestion variable. Mm-hmm. If this points to the left, mm-hmm. then they are somebody who needs more repetition. If you are an active digestion or an active brain individual, they need flashcards. They need to see the information multiple times versus passive. If I'm a passive learner, if I focus on it one time, it sticks. And so I kind of have this ability, and passive brains do this, where they can go through and really in-depth learn something in one sitting, and then they never have to look at it again. And it still kind of sticks there, but it really requires that interest and that focus. But they can't do well, they don't do as well with a strict schedule of, I study for 30 minutes every single day. They're the people who need, I was the go to Starbucks for 12 hours and get all of my homework done and all of my clinical paperwork done kind of person. But then I would take a couple of days off. So that can help with figuring out the timing of when they need to be studying and when they're, it's really about when they're ready to be digesting new information and when they actually have the capacity to make that a long-term memory and not just something that they're trying to get themselves to focus on. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. Cognition, I think, is really fascinating as well. I'm inner vision. And so I literally have almost a photographic memory if I've paid attention to it. If I have a mental image of it, I can remember it. If I can visualize it, I can recall it. But if I don't understand it enough to create a mental image of it, I couldn't understand it. So in nursing school, I would watch tons of videos that would go way further in depth than I needed to, because I had to be able to picture it. If I could picture the physiology, I could literally watch the little video of the muscle contraction and the ATP connecting, and like I can literally remember it and see it now. And so that's how my memory worked. And then with the profile is really interesting to me. I think that the second number, the unconscious number, deals with how you learn and how you create your memory. But then your second or your first number in your profile is how you recall and access that memory. So as a 6-2, my second line is how I learn and how I create unconscious memory. My second line is it needs to understand it. It needs to understand why and how. It's not into facts. It's not into memorization. I need to understand how all of the things work. And if I really understand the how and the why and the flow of something, I'm able to recall. As a 6th line, my intention and what helps me recall information is being a role model. And so what I would do is I would write my notes as like all of my study notes, even notes in class, as if I was trying to explain and help a friend who missed class understand what we went through. And so I would try and reword what the professor said in ways that made sense. And I would draw little diagrams to help me visually remember things. And so that worked really well. And sometimes being a passive brain as well, I would doodle all the time. And sometimes just moving my body and doodling would allow me to actually pay attention. It's like I had too much energy in my body as a manifesting generator, and I wanted to be absorbing that information. I also found myself, I love to study at the gym. I would bring notes. I would bring flashcards. I would go through Quizlet decks or something like that while just walking on the treadmill. But movement is really helpful. And that's helpful for people with like nervous determination, because they do well if they're moving, or high sound. They might need loud music in the background in order to digest, or markets environment. They like to be where all of the action is. So yeah, you said he's a 3-5. The 5th line learns through observation, and it's really good at observing when people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so they like to watch people mess up so that they know what not to do. And that's what's really going to help that stick in them, is seeing someone else mess it up. And then it's like, oh, I see what they did wrong. Now I know how to avoid that problem. And then the 3rd line, he's going to really recall it and remember it when he's tried it a couple of times. And so there is some trial and error. And 3rd lines, my husband's a 3-5. He can figure out anything. Mm-hmm. He's a YouTube video kind of person. If he can watch someone in a YouTube video doing it and fixing the problem, he knows exactly what to do and he can figure it out himself and troubleshoot. But with the 3rd line, there's sometimes this pessimism where it's like expecting the worst allows them to be surprised when it's a little bit better. And as a 6th line myself, I have optimism as a theme. And so I expect the best. And then I'm like not quite disappointed if it's not, but like I'm always looking for the silver lining. So sometimes you might have to lean into it can be pessimistic. It can be a little bit funny. There might be some trial and error. It might really work and he might fall in love with it. And then he might fall away from it and not really be interested. But that's his trial and error. That's his experimentation. There's going to be bonds made and bonds broken. And so he's going to go through different phases. Yeah, that's initially what comes to mind.
Yeah, no, that's helpful, because he is someone who just like jumps in, and like he actually got into my nanny's purse when she had her back turned and sprayed himself with pepper spray all over his face. So he has learned from that. And so it sounds like there's going to just be more of that. Yeah.
Yeah, my husband he almost cut off his pinky when he had his first day in this new job. And then it was like his 3rd day on the job. And then he got poison ivy, like from almost his entire body was covered in poison ivy. That was within 2 weeks of being in this new job. It's in trail maintenance, so he's outside cutting down trees and things like that. He's been fine ever since, but I was a little worried in the beginning.
Yeah, I would be too. Glad he's okay. And so, yeah, that's really helpful. I guess last question there. So you said you're mountain. So you're like, you like studying alone. And so his is valley. So like, what are valleys like?
Valleys need to be where the information is exchanged. So he might actually do well in almost like observing study groups. Is he active or passive, in his environment?
His it points left.
Left. Okay. Active. So he wants to be in places where information is exchanged, where there's conversations happening. Valleys is all about acoustics. And so it has to do with sounds as well. And so being low to the ground in places that feel like physically lower to the ground, where there's high walls, or maybe being next to the wall might feel really comforting to him, or just sitting on the ground could be really comforting to him. So just finding locations like that. So if he wants to do his homework, like sitting at the coffee table, on the floor at the coffee table, squished up against the couch, that's a great environment for him if he feels comfortable for there. And then being in places where that information is exchanged. So coffee shops where he can sit by a wall, and maybe a library where there's things happening around him, or study groups when he does get to college or anything like that, where there's conversations happening, there's people studying, and he's able to kind of overhear what's going on. He'll pick up a lot from just overhearing the different conversations. And even if he's in, I could see him like in a library and he's seeing someone else figure out a problem and kind of struggle with something on a whiteboard, just watching that interaction can be really helpful for him to learn it and figure it out himself. So he needs some observation of, if you're teaching him, show him a mess up, like mess up a problem on purpose. Show him like, oh, wait, I carried the wrong number here. Let me erase that. Let me go back. Just so that there's some humor and there's some like gentleness when it comes to messing up, because mistakes are a part of life. Like, everyone makes mistakes. And so if we can laugh at them, then we're not afraid to make them, and we'll actually push our edges a little bit more. So yeah, make it a safe environment, give him things to practice, and see if there's ways to engage. He said he's a projector. So like, invite him into the situations and ask him where his energy levels are. Like, maybe on there's certain days where he has the energy to do every single subject, and maybe there's days where he just has the energy to do one or two. And if you're able to recognize that and really support that his physical energy is inconsistent sometimes, and maybe he needs an extra nap or something like that, if you're able to support that, he's going to recognize it in himself, and then he'll be able to support himself as he's growing up. Yeah,
this is so amazing. This is why, like, I think parents could benefit from knowing their human design or their children's human design so much, because we all learn. Like, when you were explaining how messing up is actually good for him, I've noticed, like, when I'm in Dr. Connolly's trainings, he does a lot of trainings where, you know, he has people try. And that gives me like anxiety. I'm like, I just want the answer. I just want the right answer, you know? And so it's like, when teachers are designing curriculum, it's really important to understand like kids learn in different ways, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's so cool. Thank you very much for sharing.
Yeah. Dr. Connolly's a 3-5.
Oh, he's a 3-5. Okay. That's good to know. Okay. He's a 3-5. I know a lot of 3-5s actually. That makes sense. Okay. So, well, kind of on the same topic, is I saw on Instagram, and I've listened to some podcast episodes, that you've been focusing a lot on helping neurodivergent souls with human design. And I'd love for you to just kind of like share anything else about this, or like, I consider myself neurodivergent as well. So how could we use our charts to like assist with this?
Yes, I am obsessed with human design and neurodivergency right now, primarily because human design talks about the evolution of the nervous system that we're going through, especially around 2027, but it's happening now. And so human design predicted that we would see a rise in autism and neurodivergency. Neurodivergency and ADHD, because the nervous system is evolving. If you think about it, we have access to so much information right now. We are globally connected. And so we are no longer children of the family or children of the tribe. We are growing up as children of society, children of the entire world, and we are seen by the entire world. And so the primal fear of rejection is dying off. The emotional side of the nervous system, that fight or flight, that I'm going to run away from a tiger, I could bite your arm off, that is actually evolving because we're seeing people with really intense neurodivergency, their emotions are not motorized. It's very intellectual. They actually have a higher emotional intelligence than most of us because the nervous system is evolving. And so I see that we need to support the neurodivergent people right now because they're not going away. We're just going to see more of this. And so we need to be able to support them. And human design is a map of how your brain works. Like all of my ADHD symptoms, I don't have a diagnosis. It hasn't felt useful for me to get one. I did grow up with a brother who was medicated for ADHD, so I've seen that growing up, and I can see it in his design, how it showed up, and I can see it in like myself. I see it all over the place. I don't really identify or have a diagnosis for it, but I definitely recognize symptoms. One of them being, as a manifesting generator, I hyper-focus. Mm-hmm. I hyper-focus to the point where I will forget to shower for days on end. I will forget to drink water. I will forget to eat. I will literally forget to take care of myself because I'm so excited about something. And so there's some time blindness there. There's some hyper-fixation. And I go through phases where I'm super excited about something and then I'm absolutely not excited about it. I don't want to touch it. And so there can be this, like, is this bipolar? Is this a manic episode? Is this hyperfixation? Is this, you know, I have a defined ego. Sometimes it's hard to make myself do things if I don't want to do it. It can feel like executive dysfunction, all of these things, but human design gives us this map. And so the first thing that we do when we discover that we're neurodivergent is the unmasking process. And we say, okay, your brain works differently than everyone else's brain. And I think the best way to describe it is if you've been playing the video game of life your entire life, and figuring out your ADHD is like figuring out that you've actually been beta testing a new controller where all of the buttons are completely different. And so even if you went through the tutorial, it probably didn't make any sense because you're working with different buttons. And human design is literally the personalized map to the buttons that you're working with. Mm-hmm. It says, hey, you have passive digestion. You're going to remember information like this, or you are a manifesting generator. So you're going to hyper-focus on things and you're not going to be interested in other things, but you actually get to lean into that. You actually get to work with that. That's actually supportive for you because, you know, as generators or manifesting generators, you get dopamine. Dopamine is very much related to the sacral center. And so they are dopamine driven individuals. And so, yes, there's cheap hits of dopamine through sugar and through scrolling and through easy sources like that. But true satisfaction is created from working through frustration, from doing something challenging. It feels so much better, like that long-lasting satisfaction that keeps you feeling good for hours and hours and hours. I've never scrolled long enough to get there. No. I've never eaten enough sugar to get there. No. I've felt that from a good workout, though. Mm-hmm. Or from finally getting some software to actually code into my website, yeah. Or for finally getting a graphic to look right, or for having a breakthrough in a session with somebody. Those are true sources of satisfaction. And so, you know, we can talk about regulating dopamine, and dopamine is such a major contributor to ADHD. A lot of that dysregulated dopamine is really because you're forcing yourself to do things that you think that you should do, and you're you're saying, no, I can't do the fun thing because you don't trust that sacral response anymore, because a lot of it is saying, oh, just scroll or just get this thing. So it's like there's this distrust with sacral energy and you have to rebuild that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that takes some time. So the first step is really unmasking and seeing, how do you function? How do you actually operate? Can you accept that? And if you accept that, then you can work with it. And then you can leverage it. Then you can love it. And that's what human design is. I've been using it as this map for over 7 years now. And there's still more things that it's continuing to support me with.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. I love how you said that. And it is so true, because I've also noticed, just like, for example, like how I'm a generator. So I work best when I'm responding. And so when I'm having the people in my program send me messages like, hey, can you do an audio on this or this? Like, I get so excited. And then I'm like, so focused, rather than me just like, what can I do now? You know, like I just have more energy responding to what they're needing. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so helpful. And so I'm just curious, like, what are your favorite, or if you have any, types of human design readings to do?
Ooh, I currently do just open sessions where you kind of experience that, where there's not a structure, there's not anything specific, but I really get to see your story. I have an undefined G center. And so that means that I see people's identity very clearly and I see your story. And so when I get to just hear bits and pieces of what you're going through and then say, oh yeah, this is why, like, this is your human design there. This is explaining that. It just creates such a fun conversation, and I feel like I get lost in the story, and I just get to like watch a movie of your life, and it's such an honor to be able to witness people like that. And it usually leads to a deep sense of self-trust and satisfaction and just reassurance for people of like, yes, that is what I want, like that is what my sacral is saying. And so it's like getting to use it in real life. But I've done a lot of different readings. I really do I love child chart readings where we talk about parenting, we talk about kids. I think that that's very fascinating. I love relationship chart readings where you put two charts on top of each other and I'm like, okay, do you guys fight about this every once in a while? I've done business blueprint readings where we go through social media and profit potentials and like coaching skills. That's really interesting to see, like, why would people want to work with you one-on-one? What in your energy is really most attractive to other people? And what are things that you might be triggered through if you're working with somebody one-on-one? Team dynamics are really fun. I'm at a point now where I really like being able to respond and do a lot of different things. And if there's too much structure, it gets a little boring for me. If there's too much repetition, it gets a little boring. But I love that I get to talk about so many different things and so many different situations with people from all walks of life. And I think that's my favorite part, is just the diversity of the kind of readings that I get to do.
Yeah, no, I know. I saw when I was doing my prep work for our episode, I went onto your website and I saw all of these things that you had listed, which I don't know if I even looked at it last time because I just knew I wanted a reading, but I saw you did like that. You do energetics, you have psychic gifts, manifestation. I was like, I didn't even know she did all of these things.
Very manifesting generator of me.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I must have just like knew I wanted the session, so I like didn't look. But yeah, I love that. And I also love how a lot of my listeners are obsessed, like me, with a rapid resolution therapy. And so I'd love for you to, just as we're wrapping up, to talk about MESI and how you combine rapid resolution therapy with human design and like how people can use that.
Yes. MESI is one of the favorite things that I've ever created. It is so fun, and it was really a passion project. I was trying to reconnect with my sacral creativity in a new way. And I was just tinkering and following the ideas, and one thing led to another, and it turned into something that I never imagined, but that I'm obsessed with. And I use it constantly because it's such a useful resource. And that's really what I wanted to create, was a resource. So in human design, we learn that human design happens in our body. Like 99% of our decisions are happening unconsciously. And yes, our conscious mind can come in and support us, but it supports this thing called passenger consciousness, where you're watching the story unfold in your human. But in order to really be in passenger consciousness, your nervous system has to be regulated. You're not able to just surrender to the flow and allow intuitive ideas to come through and follow your intuition if your mind and your body aren't on the same page. And so I found rapid resolution therapy through Andrea Crowder. And I did a session like years ago with it, and I liked it, and I just never remembered it. I just forgot about it. It wasn't the right timing. So I wanted to blend the two, because human design is a map of, oh, you're experiencing this sensation, this dysregulation. This is what alignment looks like specifically for you. And so it was a map of, I see exactly what you're feeling, and here is the intention of where I want you to be. And rapid resolution therapy is the process of saying, of bringing someone through that process of shared intention, connection, making sure that they feel really seen in where they are, casting the vision of where you want to go. And then it has the tools for how you actually rewire that in the unconscious mind. And so I put map A and map B together, and I created Messy. And so I role play this alignment fairy, and you get to use this intuitive guide. There's this beautiful book. And so it's very much supporting that RRT process. So it's like, what color are you feeling? What scent does this feel like? What scent are you called to right now? What wild animal are you feeling called to right now? And all of those relate to the different centers in the human design body graph. All of those are different themes. And so, for example, there's clear motives is related to the root center, and it's related to the color red. And that's related to like the root chakra, if you're interested in the chakra system. And so that is like, if you're interested in the color red, or roses is the scent that it's connected to, or if you want to read about the red energy in general, but it's about timing. And so the underlined root center, whether it's defined or not in your chart, this is just useful. Full information. If it's out of alignment, you're rushing. You feel like you have to do things right now in order to relax. It's like, I can't rest until this is done. There's a sense of urgency that's not useful. You feel like there's so much to do and there's not enough time. It can feel like you're just dissatisfied with all the things around you. All of that can be present, whether it's defined or undefined. It doesn't matter. Alignment for defined and undefined is trusting your intuition, trusting your timing, and feeling regulated. And so that episode is about, there's nothing to be done right now. You can relax, like you can trust your body, you can trust your motives, you will feel that sense of urgency, you get things done exactly when they need to get done. And I blended in the rapid resolution therapy structure and the sentencing and the conversational hypnosis. And so it's a resource, and it's really designed to not be a course. You don't have to learn anything. It's not a program that you're going to get in trouble for not finishing, or you're not going to feel guilty. It is a resource so that in those moments where you're like, okay, I'm feeling dysregulated. I know human design is a great tool and it can help me, but I don't know what to do. You just press play. You're like, okay, what color am I drawn to right now? Press play. And in between 5 and 15 minutes, I do all of the RRT work for you, and I get you regulated and back out there so that you're clear and you can just follow your intuition, because you don't need someone to tell you what to do. You know what to do. Like, your intuition has the answer. You just need to be calm enough to hear it. And so that's where Messy comes in.
No, I love it. And I returned to it. I just did the other day. I was having like a creative block. And so I chose that. And it's like, I love that you can just pop in there. I like literally drove down. I sat in my car and like went through it. And then I was just like clear, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I'll link that in the show notes for everyone. I highly recommend it. And so is there any other program you would want to share with the listeners, or where can they find you? Anything else that you want to add if someone wants to work with you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at I am Eden Carpenter, and I am working on a pretty big secret project right now. So there will be other things coming and launching soon, but we're not quite announcing it just yet. So by the time you launch this, go check my Instagram and you'll get all the details.
Yay, that's exciting. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on.